You're listening to the Hockey Podcast Network, your home for hockey talk covering every team in the NHL. New episodes every Monday. Download at thehockeypodcastnetwork.com or wherever you get your podcasts from.
Captain's Log, Stardate 2/15/2021. The Flyers have been off the ice for what feels like a month. COVID listed 6 players. Taxi squad expended at 10. Hope dwindling. But hey, at least the Phantoms look pretty good.
Carry on by Claude Giroux. Giroux holding, gets around in front. Goal!
Contingent.
Hey everybody, I'm your host with the most, Joe Gazarian, and after a 3-week hiatus, I'm happy to say, boys, I'm back on the dating apps. We're going Bumble, we're going Hinge, we're going to find the next Mrs. Gazarian, okay? We're going to get there. I got faith
the
this time.
The next Mrs. Gazarian.
Yeah, there's been a couple that have come and go, you know? But I feel like this, I got a good feeling. I don't know, maybe it's the more desperate I get, you know, I'll settle. We'll see.
Well, good to see you back. Maybe we'll single-handedly bring Hinge public the same way you did for Bumble.
So. Yeah, I should have gotten in on that IPO.
We'll look forward to that. But I'm Matt Arenick, and the Flyers hockey is so close to being back, I can almost taste it, which I guess is also a good sign on a COVID front. So
there you go. I'm Mike Zawisa, and after a one-day hiatus, the pod is back as well.
Yeah. Apologies for not posting Monday, but Mike was feeling the Sunday scaries extra hard. We're going to make up for it, though. We got a great episode featuring another Zawisa brother. Yeah, JT, how the hell are you, buddy? Good to see you.
I'm doing pretty good, Joe. Thanks for having me on. I'm seeing that you guys have me back on, so I'm guessing a prospect special.
Yeah. We really need your help on this one. Plus, Mike not being at 100%, you'd make up for the difference, obviously. Before we get through the episode, though, let's take a moment to hear from our sponsor. This week's jam-packed with action, ranging from basketball, golf. DraftKings has plenty of ways for you guys to get to the front row seat, all the action. Making a line on DraftKings adds excitement to every night and is incredibly easy. More bang for your buck while you watch? Hell yeah, sign me up for that. And DraftKings has paid out over $7 billion to users all across sports and is the leader in daily fantasy sports. There's no better place to get in on all the action. Now that you can, you know how to play, download the DraftKings app and sign up using our code THPN. New users will get a free entry with their first deposit. That's code THPN to get a free entry with your first deposit only at DraftKings. Minimum $5 deposit required. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details. All right. So like I was saying, this episode we're going to touch on some prospects. Is again, not a ton of current Flyers news on the big club, but the Phantoms have gotten going. We're going to see how they're doing. But first, we should probably provide an update on COVID. As we know, the Flyers haven't been on the ice since they trounced Washington, the Capitals, back on the 7th. It feels like a lifetime ago now. They were supposed to practice on Monday, but the league advised them not to. So it looks like the team will be back on the ice Tuesday, fingers crossed, especially since no new players were added to the protocol list, and all the players that were tested Monday tested negative. That being said, it's still a lot up in the air whether we'll see him take the ice against the Rangers on Thursday or this weekend with the big game out in Lake Tahoe that's not actually on the lake. Once again, remind everybody, I'm an idiot and thought it was. But what do we think? Mike, let's go to you, the sick boy. Let's go to you first.
Sick boy. Love it.
Do you want to be thick boy? You can choose. Sick or thick, up to you.
You can cue the sick boy music in the background, but you might get copyright striked for that.
Yeah, probably. We'll lose that sponsorship right away. I'm glad that they didn't practice today. I understand, like, it would have been nice to have them back on the ice, but considering TK just got added to the protocol list, like, the night before, it seems like a good move to just wait a day. And especially since no new names were added today and we had Sanheim come off. I think he came off yesterday.
Yeah.
But either way, that's good to hear. But yeah, I mean, it's tough. I agree, though. When I saw that the game was on the 7th, the last game was on the 7th, I was shocked because it feels like it's been at least 3 weeks. This is wild. So hoping for the best. The league is pretty firm in the fact that they say they're going to play Thursday and then they're also going to play in Tahoe. Behind the scenes, though, there was a report that they've started to look into the Rangers potentially playing that game against the Bruins on the lake. That would suck too. But that would, yeah, that I don't suck. know I just, the sooner we can get them back on the ice safely, the better. But I don't know. I honestly, given the way things have gone with other teams who've been struggling with this, like the Devils were just finally back on the ice today. I could see it being a little bit of a wait, but I don't know. Hoping for the best.
Yeah, I mean, I try to see the silver lining in this whole kind of break here, and almost was hoping that the Flyers themselves treat this as a kind of like a reset for them. Not that they haven't been kind of on an upward trajectory. It's been ever so slight, in my opinion. But hopefully when they come back from this, maybe we see a slightly different team or that team we saw last year. Now, granted, it's going to be tough coming off that break, considering no one could be skating. And like I mentioned in the last episode, losing your skating and game shape happens pretty quickly. So it's probably good that they're calling up some prospects that have been skating in Lehigh Valley that'll have some jump in their step potentially. And like you said, with TK, I guess really can't anticipate him playing if we do play on Thursday, considering he was just was placed on the list, what, yesterday?
Yeah,
being Sunday.
Yesterday evening, right?
Yeah, I'm not sure what the actual, like, if he has a test negative 2-3 times, whatever it may be, before he can come back. But I feel like that's such a short time frame for him to get back in. So be interesting to see who takes his spot. And hope to God the Rangers don't take our spot in Lake Tahoe. They don't deserve that.
Yeah. No.
That would be a boring game to watch.
What about Kaapo Kakko? Come on.
I think the Bruins would just trounce them, to be honest.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I'm surprised that the Flyers were even able to play the Caps two weekends ago when we did? Because
it was
Sanheim,
a Sunday game, yeah.
Yeah, Sanheim was out that day during practice. Like, he left practice early. And then went on protocol, which is wild to me that he was. They just like kept playing because he had contact with them that day. I don't know.
I don't want to speak for the two of you that have had JT. I don't know if you've had it, but
I have not. I don't leave my house, so
fingers crossed. Don't leave your house unless you have to. But each day is like different. At least it was for me. There were days where I felt completely fine, and then the following day I would feel like absolute garbage. So. It is really hard to track in terms of if you have symptoms or not, and that's why the league's really got to step up their testing, because you can't have what's happened moving forward. You can't operate a league like this. And I know I spoke about it back in the last episode we did, where you know each league seemed to have kind of a hurdle that they had to jump early, and once they figured it out, they got to calmer waters. And I hope they have that figured out, because you know, pulling people like Vegas, pulling someone out in the middle of the game, Flyers having people leave at, you know, pregame skate that have tested positive. Just got to get it sooner. I'm interested to see how everybody comes back in terms of game shape. Like you said, Matt, COVID is a tough bug. I definitely felt lethargic for a while, and then gradually felt like I got my strength back. But these guys being, you know, professional athletes, I would assume they're probably going to bounce back sooner, but you never know. This affects people differently. So fingers crossed. But you know, especially, we don't even know who's really on the list. I mean, they don't really publish a lot of things about it. Player safety, I understand, and discretion. So, yeah, it's tough. Anything else, boys, before we kind of segue?
I think we're good.
Yeah, like I mentioned, don't really know a ton about who's on the list or why they're on the list. These are really good players, though, that we know that are on there, like TK. Giroux was on it for a while. Jake. We know it's going to impact the team on the ice, but it does give chances for other players to step up, guys like David Kasha. And I don't know if there's a better transition than that, but the season's underway for the Phantoms. They sit at 2-0-1, second in the North Division behind Mike's alum, the Binghamton Devils, coming off a great win versus the Hershey Bears, my arch nemesis, by the way. I hate Hershey. lead by three-point performances by Kasha and 2020 fourth-round pick Zade Wisdom, the heir apparent to our boy Wayne Simmons. He's looking like a smart bet, yeah, right? Maybe, JT? What do you think? You're our prospects guy.
Yeah, I mean, when I got the call the other day that I was going to be invited back, I went and looked him up again to watch some highlights.
When our people got in touch with your people?
Yeah,
yep,
yeah.
You got to put on the taxi squad.
The merger and all, I lost 10 years, so I'm trying to pay for it back. But I went back and, you know, looked at some of the film on him, and he is a very, like, interesting player to watch. He fits, like, a bunch of different roles, and I think he's got very high potential to be a bottom six guy, and like the type of guy that you could move up in case of emergency because of his shot. I was telling Mike and Matt before we started, but I really see like a Brendan Gallagher type player out of him. He's not the biggest and he's not like the fastest, but he's quick enough to get into those areas. And like Gallagher and Simmons, when he gets in like right in front of the net, people can't move him. He just like holds his own and he's got really good hands and tight. I don't know. I really enjoyed watching him. And his shot, he does not show when he's going to shoot, which is really tricky for the goalies, I think, which gives him a better chance at making something in the NHL.
Yeah,
I think.
Go ahead, Mike.
Sorry. All right. Yeah, I agree with you, JT. I mean, I think at the highest end of his ceiling is like a maybe like a lower end Brendan Gallagher or like that mold of player. Mm-hmm. I think it really all comes down to how much growth we see in him over the next couple of years, because you know we were talking about this too before we started the podcast. He was slated to play again with Shane Wright on Shane Wright's wing this coming season in juniors. So I mean that's another shot to play with a guy who's, I mean, Wright's going to be top five pick this year, potentially.
Yeah, he's really good.
Yeah, top guy. So if he's got the skill and speed to hang with a player like that, I mean, the potential's got to be at least somewhere there, right? So I think he could definitely surprise a lot of people. But like you said, if nothing else, his floor is probably right where you'd expect it to be. Like a solid bottom six player who's going to drive play, that's one thing. I think it was Appleyard mentioned so far in the AHL season, he's been driving play really well. I mean, granted, small sample size, but you're an 18-year-old, the youngest player in Phantoms history, and you're driving play as good or better than most of your teammates. That's a pretty good sign. And even down to like the goals that he scored the other day and the assist too, like the goal, the second goal was a great example of what you were saying, JT, with the deceptive shot. He completely fooled Samsonov with where he was putting that puck, and Samsonov's no slouch. I mean, he's not, I don't know if he's like an AHL or like an NHL regular caliber goalie yet. He's
first definitely round pick.
Yeah first round pick, and he's going to be back in the NHL at some point this year. But and then the other one was just like a total stick with it type of goal where he kept battling for a rebound, a guy was all over his back, and he found a way to shovel it through. So just a lot of grit, a lot of surprising skill, speed. You said he has a motor. He really does keep moving, and I think he's one of those players, Matt, I'm sure you'll touch on this, but like he's got all of the intangibles and everything and a lot of like the physical qualities, but he's also got skill to back it up too. So it's not like he's, you know, just the sort of throwaway pick or whatever, just looking for physicality. He's got all of that plus potential NHL talent.
Yeah, he's not Zach Rinaldo 3.0. We're not about to go down that path. But
how dare you bash Ryan? How dare you?
He's still playing up there in Calgary, so
he's doing something
right, apparently.
He brings his lunch pail to work, Matt. He brings his lunch pail. He's a lunch pail guy.
He's always a couple of juice boxes short, though.
Or brain cells, but what's it called? Yeah, I mean, Wisdom, he's physically mature already. What is he? He has to be a little bit over 205. So despite being so young and playing a men's game in the AHL, like, as you mentioned, the effort play that results in a goal, like, they're all things that really, even if you have the motor but you don't have the size, you can't really do in a men's game. He has that already, which is a good sign. And then, like Mike mentioned, when you're playing with Shane Wright, who is granted exceptional status in the OHL, I mean, I hate using the word generational because it's overused in my opinion, but like typically those players are generational. So if he gets the opportunity to play with him, kind of learn from him, his skill, his hockey smarts, learn how he sees the game, that's only going to benefit him and his chance of making it to the league sooner than many expect. But like JT and Mike both mentioned, with a fourth round pick, if you're able to get a floor of like a fourth liner who can provide you physicality, deceptive shot, I think most teams and fans would be willing to take that. And he's shown some good chemistry with Kasha. If you want to talk on that, yeah. JT.
Yeah, I was just going to add one more point to Wisdom, is we keep bringing up, oh, he's a fourth-round pick, and he doesn't seem to be a throwaway. At the time, he wasn't even a throwaway. I saw plenty of people saying second, third-round pick for this kid. He may have even fallen to us, and we might be getting, like, exceedingly good value in that to see return. I don't want to, like, I don't want to hype anyone up, any prospect up too much, because that's just, like, unfair to them, in my opinion. But, yeah, I mean, he's really good. Who are we on? Timon or Pumbaa at this point? Kasha? Which one is he?
Who gave him that nickname?
Him and Jake are Timon and Pumbaa because they're both the Czechs, I believe.
Jake's got to be Pumbaa.
Yeah. I guess. So Timon?
Yeah. He did show good chemistry with him, though.
But yeah. With Kasha, I mean, he's the type of guy. He started the year over in the Czech Republic, right? Playing in his old league before the season started. And he was playing, like, top six, if I'm not mistaken, maybe even first-line center. He's very, just a smart player. I went back and watched stuff on him, of course, from, I mean, there's not as many highlights of him, but his World Junior stuff. He is a pass-first player. I don't think a lot of Flyers fans will be happy to hear that with how the roster is.
Another pass-first player? I don't believe you.
He's just incredibly smart. He's quick. But, like, his goals, if you watch them, he just seems to be in the right place at the right time. So many just like rebounds or caroms off the boards, he's right there to just pick it up and put it in. And he reminds me a bit of like a Michael Roffel type player. We'll see what happens. I think he's not as big, obviously. He doesn't have his brother's size, because what's his brother, like 6'2"?
Yeah.
That's wild that David's only like 5'8 or 5'9. He's really small compared to his brother. But you know, I think he's definitely got the intelligence and the work and like the work ethic and skill to make it. It's just, I think if he's going to be playing in a bottom six role, like I assume, you wonder at times, is he going to have the size to be able to be good enough to play there?
I remember, was it last year, Kasha got called up for a couple games? I thought he'd look good. I thought he looked pretty good at times. It looked like the stage was a little bit big for him, but he did have a goal. I think it was against Boston, if I'm not mistaken.
I think it was Anaheim before Kasha.
Before he got traded to Boston. Okay. I thought he looked good. I would like to see him get some time up at the big club if it's possible. I remember Appleyard is like super high on him. And I remember reading blogs about him in The Athletic and how he plays a very European game. Not a ton physically, which, you know, that's okay. I mean, that's saying a lot coming from me too. You guys know how much I love people bring the body, but I would love to see him get a little more time with the big club and see what he can translate. And as far as Wisdom, I didn't really get to commentate on it. I'll just say this. It's really nice that you're not robbing Peter to pay Paul with him, you know, because he brings both sides of the game. He's got physicality and he can actually, you know, score. You're not just having one or the other. If for a fourth round pick, that's terrific. I know there's other people that had him higher, but he still slid all the way to the fourth round for some reason. What's so funny?
I don't know what you said there.
Robbing Peter to pay Paul? You've never heard that?
I don't know what that means, Joe.
No, I've heard of it, so don't worry.
Matt, am I an old man? Maybe
I'm a borderline Zoomer, though, to be fair.
Yeah, that's Millennial versus Zoomer right there.
What's a Zoomer? What is that?
It's Gen Z.
Oh, Jesus. All right, I really am old. I don't even know what that is. it's, you know, he's got both sides of the game. You're not just leaning on one thing, which is good to have in a lower pick, because a lot of those guys are more one-dimensional, and then they have to really struggle and work hard to develop that other side of the game. But if he's coming up with both, that's fantastic. When you said he is a deceptive shot, is it like, I didn't get to see the goal, I just saw that he scored. Is it kind of like one of the Hughes brothers scored a goal the other day where it was kind of like a fake pass kind of shot?
Yeah, nice, there's not much of a pullback. He's got a very shallow pocket in the shot. And I hate using player comps for stuff. I think it's better to use player comps for mechanics, which I'm going to do here. But like, Patrick Laine doesn't really pull the puck back when he shoots. It's very just quick and shoot.
It's like Phil Kessel doesn't have a big drawback.
Yeah, it's more of a snap in the wrists.
Compact.
Whereas you see some guys who really pull, like Gio will whip the shot.
Yeah, he He has quite the windup, Giroux. He gets all that puck. Whether it goes on net sometimes, he gets all of it, that's for sure.
It's almost like Wisdom shoots as a part of his stride, if that makes sense.
No, it does. I feel like you probably get more power that way, too. You're transferring a lot of energy into the shot, right? So, interesting. But, yeah, those are my two cents. I want to see more Akasha and Wisdom. I'm excited to see what he can bring, because I don't think the Flyers I just feel like they would probably like someone in the same kind of vein as like a Simmons, someone who just has that presence about him. I don't think the Flyers get run out of town or run out of the building by a lot of teams, but just historically and organizationally, they do like having someone around that can fill that kind of void, and we'll see if Wisdom can do it.
With the Simmons stamp of approval, too.
It does. Remember when they drafted him, he said, Philadelphia, you're going to love this kid. So I have high hopes. Anything else on Phantoms? Mike, go ahead.
Well, no, I think since we brought up Akasha and you wanted to see him and you want to see more from him, I mean, he and Shusko, Maxim Shusko, just got the taxi squad call up. Should we touch on that a little bit?
Yeah, let's go there. Obviously, with COVID kind of being up in the air, I mean, it's possible Akasha gets his debut. Shusko, I know a little bit about. I remember when we drafted him, I think, Mike, you were saying that he could actually be a player. I don't know how his trajectory has been since, but another European. He's got a little bit of more size, doesn't he, than Akasha?
He's like so.
Oh, yeah, for sure, yeah. Well, okay. Yeah, at least by 2 inches. I mean, everybody has size on Akasha.
But yeah, it's funny. JT said that Kasha's kind of always in the right place at the right time. That's something that I took away from him last season when I did get to see him. Felt like he was always around the net, which is always a good thing. And I don't remember the gore he skulled completely, but I don't know if it was a rebound.
It's a tip-in.
Okay, so yeah, in front of the net, where you're supposed to be. And for a smaller guy, just the question is if he's going to be able to hold his own against some of the bigger D-men and taking those whacks in front and paying the troll toll to get the goal.
I got that one, don't worry.
There we go. I'm not 1,000, see? I'm hip.
Yeah, I think with Kasha, I mean, JT, you said beforehand, Charlie O'Connor maybe mentioned that they were potentially call-ups.
It had to do with all the COVID protocol that's going on.
Yeah, that makes sense. I do think, though, regardless of whether or not that's the case, I think a guy like Kasha has really moved up the I don't know what you would call it.
Organizational depth chart.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah. I think I know that it's unfair to say it, kind of, because they're both over in Russia. But, you know, I think, well, Vorobyev's technically not even a part of the organization anymore, I guess, right? So,
he still has his rights.
He tore his ACL, okay. Didn't he? He's like done for the
Did
year.
Did he?
Oh, yeah. That's a shame.
That's tough. That's tough. But I think Kasha is past guys like Vorobyev and Rupsov right now, even in the organization's eyes. I think he's probably like right behind where they have Carson Taransky. I think they really like him. So I wouldn't be shocked to see him get in the lineup, especially if you have guys like TK and Voracek out this week. Like, I wouldn't be comfortable putting Carson Taransky in a top six role. I think you could ostensibly put Kasha with like a Kevin Hayes though or something and get a good game or two out of him. So I could see that happening. And then I would be shocked if Shusko sees time, but he's one of those guys that he's never on like the best teams or anything like that, but he is clearly the best player on his teams whenever he's playing.
Big fish, little pond.
And that was really the case in World Juniors. And his juniors team, he stood out a good bit too, even though he wasn't on very good teams. So, like we said, crazy season so far. You don't really know what's going to happen with COVID and all that stuff. And this is kind of that next man up mentality. We talked about depth at the beginning of the year. This team has a lot of depth, and this organization has a lot of depth. And maybe this is another chance to potentially see that on display.
If I'm these younger guys, I'm taking this opportunity. I'm running with it because this is huge. You know, you get a chance to kind of prove some people wrong and prove a bunch of people right, especially with Kasha. And then, you know, how old is he now? He's getting up there. He's 24? not a young man anymore. Get to the point where you're kind of going to be straddling that line between AHL lifer or you're going to go back overseas and go play in Sweden or Czech Republic. So I always love when it's time to piss or get off the pot with these guys, because they really either get going or they show you that they don't have it. So fingers crossed that he goes big. I was going to ask, Zamula, is he in the taxi squad? I'm assuming, right?
No.
That's a good question.
Yeah.
That the taxi squad's like forever changing, right? Like
there's a lot of flexibility to it. I think the Canadians moved Byron to the taxi squad just for cap relief, and they're going to bring him back. So it does a lot of duties other than just, I guess, holding players. But I'm kind of interested to see if maybe Zamula gets some time. Who knows? I think that the defense would have to take another hit. It'd be a bunch of people would have to be out again, or I don't know, maybe Gustafson has another horrible game. Even then, I don't think he gets in. I think it would have to take another couple hits in terms of people actually being able to play. But he's someone I have my eye on as the, you know, as events unfold, and we're going to get to the Seattle, the expansion draft, you know, that kind of stuff is going to loom larger the longer we go to see, you know, what kind of depth is and what moves can be made. So I would be curious to see if he gets some time. But what about you guys, JT and Matt?
Yeah, I think you brought up JT on before we started the call. You have to be conscious of Zamula and expectations early in the season. He's coming off of back surgery. I know he was part of the team going into the playoffs in the bubble. So there is this kind of expectation that he's kind of ready to go. I still think he has some physical immaturity to his game where, I mean, he has the hockey smarts, but at the same time, I think he still has to get used to the speed of professional hockey. He has all the tools. I just think some people have some unreasonable expectations, especially coming off a major surgery like that. But I'm definitely interested. I mean, there's some other names in there as well. You have Linus Hogberg, Wyatt Wiley. Wyatt Wiley actually has a goal and an assist in three games so far this year, and Hogberg has one assist in three games. But Mike mentioned that I think Linus Hogberg might be someone who the organization, the previous regime, maybe thought Robert Haig was in terms of a two-way defenseman. Unfortunately, Robert Haig has turned into the old-style stay-at-home D-man that can no longer play in this game, as we see in a night in and night out. So,
he scored the other night, Matt. Come on.
Yeah, I mean, that's the type of things you want to see out of him. But
with Raffel, the rush, you know, jumping 8 feet in the air and taking away the goalie's eyes, and, you know, he had a little help. But
go ahead, JT. I mean, I was just going to say I'm excited to potentially maybe see, again, a silver lining. You don't want it to come to be this way that a player gets kind of their NHL first shot because of COVID. You'd rather it be from on merit. But if that happens and one of them run with it, whether it's Linus Hogberg or, I mean, whoever it may be, it's definitely going to be a welcome sight, considering, as we know, the bottom pair is a detriment to this team.
Yeah, I definitely agree that, you know, people really liked what they've seen from Zamula when he's managed to make it onto the team. And maybe that needs to be tempered a bit. I will say, it seems like every time I see Zamula play, he's better. Like, he just gets better. The first time I saw him play, I was like, well, the head's there. He's got some of the shots and stuff like that. His stretch passes always stood out. And then the next time I saw him in World Juniors, he was skating so smoothly. And that was the part that I was like, man, he couldn't skate for shit the first camp he was with us. And it just kept getting better. But yeah, I mean, it's going to be interesting to see what they do with this bottom pairing, because as we saw, Nate Prosser jumped in for a game. And I don't know how many people thought coming into the season that Nate Prosser would get playing time.
The Prosinator.
So, but
was
yeah,
that
I
his
mean,
nickname? It was the Prosinator,
yeah, TK,
right?
TK gave him that nickname.
He looks like Nate from The Office. That's all I know.
Yeah, he does. 100%.
But, I mean, yeah, Matt brought up Hogberg and Wiley. With Hogberg, he was playing top 2, top 4 minutes in the SHL with, I always forget the name of his team. But
Brinus.
Was he with Brinus? It might have been.
I don't know. For Lunda, those are only two that I know.
Yeah, I don't remember.
I might have been
there's also one that's like Yeah.
I think it was Brynjes, if I had to put money on it.
Regardless, he really, he can eat up some minutes, and he can skate really well. And yeah, and then Wyatt Wiley, they're both two-way kids. They're not as offensive, but they can eat up some minutes. Hopefully, they've done well at their respective levels so far.
I did have a question. What about is it Sandin?
Linus Sandin.
He's on the Phantoms right now.
He's a forward, yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, they signed him, and it kind of felt like it was more towards the bigger club, like he was going to have a legit shot, and I haven't heard anything since training camp, so I'm kind of curious. Have you guys heard anything about him? Is it just the style of play? He hasn't gotten used to it, or?
I think they just wanted to, they kind of came into the season with an idea of what their team was going to look like already, and they just figure he's better off getting a full season of AHL hockey or North American hockey before he really gets a shot at camp next year.
There didn't really seem to be a lot of shots given at camp this year between Sandin, Lazinski, and Allison all kind of just went to the AHL right away, it seemed like.
Yeah.
And it was a short
camp. It wasn't
really
that much of a camp. Yeah.
Yeah. No, that's fair. Yeah. I wasn't putting blame on anyone, but
No, go yell about it, JT. Get after it.
I just don't think I have it in me. 4 hours of sleep is doing me in.
Anybody else that we might want to touch on before moving forward, boys? Any other young fellows?
Yeah, we can touch on a couple college prospects. I mean, obviously, we all watched Cam York and Bobby Brink bring home gold for Team USA in the World Juniors. So they both, I would say, put up very good numbers. I think Bobby Brink played better than Cam York as a whole in World Juniors, but it is good to see that York does have 3 goals, 11 assists, so 14 points in 16 games for Michigan. Bobby Brink, 1 goal, 6 assists, and 7 points in 11. And then a name that many fans and people might have forgot about, Jay O'Brien, first-round pick, coming off. He started – where did he start? He started in college with who? Providence?
Providence before he left.
Yeah,
I thought
Providence.
He was in, like, the OHL or something.
He went to Providence and then BCHL.
Yeah.
And then now he is back with the Boston University Terriers. 6 goals, 4 assists in 10 games, coming off a hat trick this past weekend. So maybe he's found his step. I mean, I know a lot of people, I think people have seen people have been joking about kind of trading him and utilizing that first round pedigree to get some value out of him, which I definitely would not be opposed to. But watching him in World Juniors 2 years ago, I definitely could see him being a good bottom sixer. He has a very good motor. I mean, again, you don't get drafted in the first round just by chance, so he obviously has the skill and the shot and things of that nature. It's just about putting his game together. He was able to put up a bunch of points in the BCHL the previous year, and he's on a point-per-game pace in college, which is very hard to do. So I think there's some promise there, and it is good to see all three of those players putting up some very respectable numbers in college hockey so far. So, Mike, do you want to touch on some overseas people?
No, for sure. Real quick, if you would have told me that Jay O'Brien was outpacing Bobby Brink in college this year, I would not have believed you. So, good to see that. And like you said, worst case scenario, if you could get a bottom six player out of him, I mean, not terrible.
Not going to lose sleep over that.
No, not at all. One thing I wanted to mention in terms of overseas prospects, I mean, obviously we have guys like Rupsov over there who cooled off considerably in the KHL, which is unfortunate. I know he was in and out of lineup because of injury, I think, early in the year. Anyway, I wanted to touch on the goalies. Goalies kind of get lost in the fray a little bit in this organization right now because of Carter Hart. And even down to like Felix Sandstrom, kind of not that much noise on him, especially playing in the ECHL last year. But Flyers have two really good goalie prospects over in Europe. They've got Ivan Fedotov, who's a name that fans forgot about Jay O'Brien. I mean, Ivan Fedotov is probably a guy that fans have not heard about.
Third goalie pick that year.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, the 3-goalie draft that everyone lost their minds over. He is, I think he's 24 now, but he's over in Europe, obviously, so the Flyers still have his rights and everything like that. He's got a .224 goals against average and a .922 save percentage
in the KHL? 21
games in the KHL.
Jesus.
Yeah. And then
a sleeper pick.
Yeah, pretty great numbers. And again, he's one of those guys that I don't even think they had a picture for him when the Flyers drafted him. That one year, they like guys were having trouble finding stats on him when they made the pick. The
big thing where they were like, he's 6 foot six.
Yeah, he's up to 6'8" now apparently.
Oh my
god, not stopped growing.
A 6'8" goaltender.
Yeah, so that's pretty ambitious. Great. And then
you're pumping my tires right now. I'm getting excited. I'm looking this guy.
And then Samuel Ersson, over in Sweden.
Him, I do remember.
Yeah, he is. I mean, talk about, like we mentioned earlier, Hogberg seems like the guy that people thought Hague was. Ersson might be the guy that people thought Sandstrom was. And I'm not trying to like down on Felix Sandstrom, because obviously he has a lot of talent and he could turn things around. But yeah, Ersson's got a .914 save percentage and granted a high goals against, .290. But his team is not great. He's played 31 games over there and he's got a 13-18 record. So posting a .914 save percentage with three shutouts on top of that, Matt, you put it, you know, before we started the podcast, you're like, that pretty much tells you all you need to know. Like, he's potentially one of the only guys, you know, keeping the team in it on a nightly basis. So, like I said, like, we, all the focus in the world is on Carter Hart right now, and rightfully so. Like, he's the guy right now. He's having kind of a so-so season right now. I don't think a lot of his numbers reflect how he's played necessarily, but this just speaks again, like, the Flyers have depth in their organization kind of everywhere. Like, I just rattled off two goalie prospects.
Ustamenko, too, if he wasn't injured.
Yeah, he was doing really well. He's another guy. But, like, from a guy who's 24 and kind of completely forgotten about, Fedotov just absolutely killing it in the KHL, to Samuel Ersson, a really young player who's also doing extremely well in his highest league of competition right now. That's just great to have guys who... You never know with goalies, you know. Some Henrik Lundqvist, what was he? Like, just a free agent signing out of Sweden, or was he a late round pick?
I think he was like
7th round pick.
He was like 6th round of pick or something.
Yeah, he was late.
Yeah,
he was
late.
So you never know with goalies. So it's just good to have the depth there. But yeah, those are that's really all I wanted to touch on with
even,
in terms of those guys.
Yeah, he said he's 24 in Russia. I think Bob was like 22 when the Flyers brought him over, 23, something like that. So, you know, goalies are weird, man. They all develop at different times, and you never know for sure when they're good to go. But holy cow, 6'8", that's a big boy in that. He covers a lot of room.
Sam Moran replacement here when it comes to this size.
Oh, you think we should try him out of forward?
Yeah.
He moves. We're moving forward.
Changes position completely.
Hey, no one sees the ice better than a goaltender, right? They got the full view, so let's put
especially
him out forward.
Especially him. He's talking about those trees.
Yes, he is.
Get the aerial view.
6'8", and then you add skates, right? So, I mean, that's another inch. That's a big fella.
You're going to be playing center for the Sixers then, huh? With skates on.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. But I feel like any – I don't want to interrupt anyone. Anyone else want to talk about another young player overseas that I've never heard of, like Ivan Fedotov, because I'd love to. I'm pumped now. I'm going to watch some clips on Fedotov after this.
If you can find him.
Yeah.
They're all going to be in Russia. I have to go to Russian YouTube.
No, nobody?
Emil Andrej, last I heard, he's trying to fight for minutes, but he's on an older team, I think, is part of it. So just like in the juniors, he's a younger guy who's going to have to fight for minutes.
Okay. All right. Well, all this prospect talk is getting me a little hot under the collar. How about we do let's do a Joe's Hot Take Cafe. Let's do a prospect Joe's Hot Take Cafe. What do you guys think?
I like it.
All right, Mike, you're going to cue the music whenever you want. There's no pressure this time. I know last time I said cue it now, and then you had to do it. So not going to do that this time. Cue the music. I'll go first. Let's see. I'm going to say, based on what you guys have said, Zade Wisdom makes the team next year out of camp. Book it. That's your hot take right there. He's going to be fourth liner for the team.
Oh, man.
No pressure, kid.
How do you follow that?
No pressure, kid. Best of luck. You shouldn't have put me first. I should have been last.
I'm not going to lie. That's exactly what I was going to do.
Well, not as hot as it seems, is it? All right, so, Mike, you can go last then. JT or Matt, you go. Give Mike time to think of another one.
I also need time, Matt.
All right.
We had three people who were going to say Zane Wilson was going to make the Flyers.
I can give another hot take if you guys are struggling. Matt, go ahead. Go ahead. Give yours.
I'm trying to think of – I'll go with this. It was not as scorching hot as Joe's, but Jay O'Brien signs an entry level this offseason, and he leads the Phantoms in scoring next year, full season.
Wow.
With the
Phantoms. That's a really good one.
That'd be terrific.
I'll try to pump his tires up a bit and see if that gets him going.
All right. What about – I was going to ask you guys, too. What happened to the other Swedish – goalie we had?
Sandstrom?
He got drafted around Carter Hart. Sandstrom, what happened to him?
Felix Sandstrom?
Yeah.
He's on the Phantoms right now, I think.
So. Okay.
Yeah.
He's been battling injuries.
A long time.
He gets mono a lot.
Timeout. I thought you had mono once. You had it forever.
He got it once in the year after we drafted him. I think he had concussion issues, being more serious, which is no laughing matter.
No, but I thought you got mono once. It was in your blood forever. I thought that was the deal. But did you, JT, Mike, did you guys think of another hot take yet?
I can go. Mike's still.
All right, go ahead, JT. No pressure.
Next year, I'm thinking Linus Hogberg steals the sixth defenseman spot.
Whoa! All right, that is a hot take.
The other one is kind of, I guess, COVID dependent. I don't know how it's going to work because, so Forrester's what, 18 or 19 right now? So if he's able to play with the Phantoms next year, I'm going to say 15 to 20 goals with them.
Ooh,
I think he just lights the lamp. That's a lot for the AHL.
Yeah. It is.
And he's a shooter.
Younger kid especially.
He shoot first.
Yeah, so, that's a good pick. I like that. I forgot he was a center, too, or like play part-time center and wing.
Yeah, he can play wherever. There's a lot of Swiss Army knives on this Flyers prospects.
Flyers love a four-wheel drive vehicle. Forget anything else. They want to go everywhere type of car. And
they
take
love those Ford Focuses.
Yeah, so I was gonna say more like a Subaru, but they're they're reliable. They're gonna get you there. It might not get you there fast, but they'll get you there. Go ahead, Mike. What's your hot take?
All right, I'll do an instant returns hot take. We'll see if this one is hot within the next couple days or not.
Okay. All right.
David Kasha will be the Flyers' leading scorer through Thursday and through the weekend. Oof. So, for the game against the Rangers and then through the little series against Boston, I guess.
Oh my God.
No pressure on
him.
He's
going to
draw on the lineup.
What line is he going to be on?
He's playing second line. He's going to play top six. He's going to replace Jake or TK on one line.
Severely burn someone with that one.
It's either him. Not the take doesn't come to fruition if he doesn't play well, or the Flyers just are terrible and he leads them in scoring with like a goal and an assist or something like that. But no, I think he's gonna jump in the lineup and he's gonna turn some heads, and then immediately get sent back down. And then I'll do one a little bit forecasting into the future. By 2023, we'll say.
Okay.
3 years.
That's
2 years
further
from
down the road.
Yeah, three years, right?
That's 2 years, isn't it?
This
is a 2020.
Oh no, you're right. Yeah.
Do I need to do my captain log spiel again?
No, we got it.
Math's hard.
Captain's log 2023. Yegor Zamula is Ivan Provorov's first line partner.
Front of Myers.
A Russian top pair. Yep. Ed Snyder is rolling in his grave. He's rolling in his grave, a Russian top pair. I'd love to come all four.
My spiciest Flyers take is that in 10 years, Ivan Provorov's little brother becomes his top line pair.
Love that.
Does he play defense? I thought he was a forward.
I thought he was a forward as well.
I thought he was a defender, but
you can make the transition.
The organization doesn't care about that.
Yeah, no, exactly. No. if Sam Moran can do it, anybody can do it. Come on. All right. Yeah. Well, that was fun. Any more hot takes, gentlemen?
No, I think that was plenty hot. I think that was plenty hot.
All right. I'm sorry I stole the thunder for taking everyone's aid wisdom, but next time have me go last. No hockey on the ice just yet, but hopefully by Thursday we're going to be singing a different tune. Yeah, everything's going down.
Oh, jeez.
we hope you guys really enjoyed this impromptu prospect check-in. Thanks for JT for coming on. We love having you for this kind of stuff. You are a light in the darkness. For all the boys, though, I'm Joe Gazarian. Have a great week, everybody.